Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, August 24th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Aliens Fire Team Elite Pro Player at Gary Witta.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready to get it on.
Gary, do we want to talk about your obsession with Aliens? Because you were just talking about this beforehand. Of course, you played Xbox with me, Mike, Kevin last night. Then this morning, you signed on here. You're talking to us while you buy the game again on Steam and then get all the DLC for it. You seem like you've gone around the bend on this Alien business.
I don't know if I'm obsessed with it, but I do really like it. And I've had a couple of really fun sessions playing with you and Kevin. You, me, Kevin, and Snowbike were all playing in a different rotation. Kevin raised an interesting question last night, why they went with a three-player squad instead of four. Like, all four of us couldn't play together. Most of these games, Left 4 Dead, Back 4 Blood, World War Z, have a four-player squad. For whatever reason, they went with three. I don't know. I'd actually be interested to ask the developers why they chose to do it that way. But to your point, no, I'm not obsessed with it. I'm really enjoying it right now. I think it's one of those, it's not a big game. It's a $40 game. It's probably, you know, good for like a few weeks of fun. They have a horde mode on the back end of the campaign that, you know, you could replay endlessly, I guess, if you're still enjoying it. But, you know, for what, you know, while it's the thing, while it's the new game, I'm enjoying it. And yeah, I did have to get it again on Steam because there's no cross play. Come on. 2021. There's no excuse. Where's the cross play? All the games should have cross play. But no, I am really enjoying it. We were talking again last night, Greg, about how well it captures that James Cameron movie vibe, you know?
Yeah, and it does a great job with that.
Can you believe, by the way, I nearly went off on one because Snowbite was like, do you think this captures the movie vibe very well? I'm like, oh yeah, don't you? And he's like, well, I'm asking because I've never seen the movie. I'm like, what? As if you've never seen Aliens. He said, should I watch Alien and Aliens? I'm like, you've never seen Alien or Aliens. He says, no, I've seen Prometheus and Alien versus Predator. I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean,
I think
that's,
we need
classic,
to have an intervention.
That's classic Mike. We joke about like Nick Scarpino's like bad movie taste, but I really do think that one Mike Howard has taken the gold when it comes to just loving the worst movies and not watching any good movies.
But it's the thing, you know, this comes up the same way when Blessing and Janet were talking on Twitter after one of the many beatdowns they got for not having played Mass Effect, where they were like, listen, we were children when Mass Effect came out. And that was the thing, Gary, that gut check moment where, like, you've had it for years where you talk to me and you're like, oh, man, I, Gary Witta, am old. Greg is young. Now I'm having it where I talk to these kids and I'm like, oh, man, I, Greg Miller, am old. Like, these kids didn't grow up with this game.
I hate to be a movie snob, but, you know, I grew up loving movies and now movies in my business. So, you know, I'm into movies. And when people that I, you know, otherwise like and respect, people that I love, like Snowbite Mike, tell me that they've never seen like a bunch of like stone cold banger classic movies that surely everyone should have seen, like Alien and Aliens. My head popped a little bit.
You understand, this kid hadn't seen Roadhouse until I made him watch Roadhouse.
Oh my God. Be nice, Greg. Be nice.
Be nice. Exactly.
I told him that both of them are on Amazon, so he could do he should do a Twitch watch party with those.
And maybe he will on 80s Action Night. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, even though it's me and Gary, which is your most BSing of BS Kinda Funny Games Daily Cruise, there's no time to waste. If you didn't know, we're recording this episode live because at 10 a.m. it is the Xbox Gamescom Showcase hosted by the XCast and Gamertag Radio's Paris Lily. We're very excited for that. But that means we are on a time crunch to get this news into you before the Xbox drops their news. Destiny's happening at the same time. I digress. We're going to get into all that and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can write in with your questions, your comments, your concerns, everything under the daily video game sun to be part of the show, including your squad up requests. Plus, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you could get the show ad-free, you could get it with the exclusive post-show we do, and you could be having a good time all the time, because that's what it's about. You get all those benefits for Gamescast too. You can watch live, yada, 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 yada.
That's my favorite quote from the end of Spinal Tap. I can't remember who he's talking to. One of the guys in the band. And he says, what is it you've learned from your career in rock and roll? Like, what's the one piece of wisdom that you would impart? And he just says, have a really good time all of the time.
Yep.
And what could be more wise than
just
that?
Just commit to it and you can do it. If you want to watch live as we record it for free, you can. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you, I already told you the big one, Xbox Gamescom Showcase is up right after that. That means you, if you are watching live, stick around and watch it with us. We'll talk over it. If you go somewhere else and you want to watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Reactions will go up there. After that, the post show will be a live Kind of Funny XCast, your XCast for the week. So you can come over there, see Snowbike Mike and the crew talking and chatting it up right afterwards. That'll go up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe under the XCast banner. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Black Jack. Today, we're brought to you by DoorDash, Away, and Amazon Music. But someone will tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Now, as I said earlier, Xbox Gamescom. You put them together, XCOM. Happening right after this, Gary. But believe it or not, right now, as we are live, Destiny 2 is talking about all the crazy stuff that's coming to Destiny 2, right? I'm letting that stack up. So that when we get there, Gary, we're out of time. We can bullet point it, and you and I don't have to act like we actually know.
Yeah, because you and I are in no position to talk from an informed perspective.
Get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? I wish you well, Luke. I love you. Go have a great time at Destiny Players. We'll talk.
I did see a lot of Destiny chatter in my Twitter feed this morning. And if you're Fran Mirabella or Paris Lily or any of these people that are really into Destiny, it's presumably a good day for you.
For people like Paris, because Fran at least plays Avengers, so he knows what a real games as a service is. But Paris, he doesn't know. You know?
Wow.
He thinks it's Destiny. Wow. Thinks the future.
I gotta say, Fran loves his Destiny. You know, you check out Twitch at like 1 o'clock in the morning. He's there racking up. You rack up in Destiny? I don't know what the fuck you do in Destiny, but he's doing it.
As I'm a platinum in Destiny too, I do love Destiny as a thing, but it's just so intimidating to even think about going back to and do it. But like I said, we'll catch you up in there. But instead, we'll start with news that I find more interesting. Number one on the Roper Report, WWE and 2K are apparently fighting amongst themselves. We go to Michael Straw over at Sports Gamers Online. It was revealed on Saturday evening during WWE's SummerSlam event that 2K Sports made the decision to delay WWE 2K22 until March 2022. The decision has seen mixed reactions from fans across the internet, but that's not the only place having issues with the delay. Speaking with multiple sources at 2K Sports, developer Visual Concepts, and beyond, there have been quite a few high-level decisions causing concern among the team. SGO has learned that there's been infighting regarding the direction of the game. 2K Sports and WWE have been going back and forth on pushing back WWE 2K22 since almost immediately after the game was announced. Most of those within WWE wanted the game to release in its normal Survivor Series window. If you're not a WWE fan, that's around Thanksgiving, the November timeframe of this year when you would traditionally see a wrestling game release. This is Greg editorializing, by the way. Now, of course, it's pushed to March, as they've said. Another Greg editorializing. Let's see if it actually hits there. Back to the report. Those from 2K Sports and Visual Concepts, on the other hand, pushed hard for a delay on the launch. One of the reasons given to us was the sheer amount of releases over the past year. What they mean there, of course, is people being released from WWE, people being fired from WWE, even though you can't be fired because you're an independent contractor, which doesn't make any sense, but I digress. Back to the article. The team has been working on scanning wrestlers and building new character models pretty much from the ground up. Well, a number of superstars built were on the release list. One source even said, quote, "This is shaping up to be the most outdated roster a game has seen," end quote. The game is expected to include a large amount of wrestlers no longer with WWE, but the March release window now gives them time to adjust with removing wrestlers and adding any new ones WWE might want. The roster cuts aren't just the only point of contention between the parties. With the miserable release that was WWE 2K20, WWE has apparently been more difficult to deal with during the development cycle. WWE has made it known that they want a better product this time around. Despite still making record profits, the largest wrestling company in the world lost quite a bit due to the poor launch and reception surrounding WWE 2K20. Things got really bad when it reached the point where refunds were starting to be issued. There was a lot of talk of whether it may be time for a split between the parties. 2K Sports has been the publisher of WWE video games since taking over from THQ in 2013 as part of the former studio of the former studio's closure. However, after years of working with Yuke's, the developer on the series, Visual Concepts took over solely for WWE 2K20. Fast forward to early 2020, while WWE and Take-Two Interactive, the parent company of 2K Sports, were having multiple meetings over the future, the Stanford-based company did hang other publishers out as far as future partners. Now, Gary, lots of words here, and I'll explain why I put it in here. And again, yeah, this lets Destiny stuff build up so we can actually give you that news, right? But one of the things is WWE 2K22 has been getting talked a lot about on Games Daily, especially with me as a wrestling game fan. And it's been this conversation that a couple weeks ago we had the article that was, hey, from VGC, this is actually shaping up and it seems like it's going to be really good. The engine's built from the ground up. Somebody is impressed with it. And it was one of those, well, if you're getting that early of a report, it's probably somebody who's working on the game. Then you jump to this weekend when they were like, you know what? Here you go. It's coming in March, which is a abnormal move for a WWE game. That's not when they usually launch. And then here, again, you can take this entire article with a grain of salt. Personally, and this, and not that I'm like the end-all be-all of anything, I've never heard of Sports Gamers Online. That's not surprising that I wouldn't know a niche site that is dedicated to something like this. But what one of the reasons I wanted to put this out there is to follow up on the news we've already done about WWE 2K22, to talk about the fact that it's delayed, and then also the fact that I believe all of this. Like, I believe that these are conversations happening. WWE cannot be happy with how WWE 2K20 was a huge black eye for them. The fact that they didn't put out a WWE 2K21. And then the fact that, yeah, WWE 2K22 is falling behind, is delayed. And then, yes, this whole thing about releases, for sure. And I don't agree with the articles thing here from Michael Strawn. Now, granted, Michael's talking to unnamed sources, he says. But he's saying that with this delay, they're going to be able to put newer wrestlers in. I highly doubt that, seeing as how it takes so long to build a wrestler. And if they were able to turn stuff around and put them in that way, I would worry about the quality of it.
Let me ask you this, Greg.
Yeah.
I know you're far more of an expert on this than I am, both in terms of wrestling in general and the world of wrestling video games. Mm-hmm. 2K has had the WWE license for quite a long time, right?
Correct, since they got it from THQ in 2013.
Do you think overall they have been a good steward of that franchise?
You put me into a position there, right? Because I never want to talk shit about anybody. Here's where I'll start with this conversation, Gary. And if you're a newer kind of funny fan or don't know or something like that, right? First off, I was raised on wrestling video games. That was like one of my passions, right? But then at IGN, I reviewed the WWE series SmackDown and then into the 2K stuff, right? I reviewed those for years over at IGN. I guess they were always 2K when I was doing it, right? Doesn't matter. No, I'm sorry, that doesn't make any sense. Yes, I was doing the SmackDown and then they became the 2K because I was doing THQ. And so somebody who is a student of the game, who was critiquing these things year after year, who like you knew them inside and out, knew the additions and the changes to the reversal systems and stuff like that. When THQ was going out of business, I remember leaning back and going, man, this sucks obviously for the people who are going to lose their jobs and things like that. But this is probably the best thing that could happen for the WWE video game brand. Because at that point, THQ and the WWE series was king of the mountain. And so it was this, there's nobody challenging the throne. They are doing exactly what people hate about Madden, right? Where, okay, cool. 9 months later, you get a roster refresh and they've tweaked this thing that wasn't broken. They tried to fix this thing. It still isn't. Nobody's making it like No Mercy. Nobody's happy that way. And instead what happened is, and again, this makes me sound very callous and I don't mean it that way. But what happened is, of course, 2K got the license and 2K brought over pretty much everybody. So for all intents and purposes, you know, the SmackDown Raw thing we were getting before just became 2K. And so have they been a good steward of it? I would say overall, yes, right? This goes back to what we're always talking about, Gary, right? Video games are a business. And year after year after year, WWE fans buy WWE 2K, whatever it is. They just do. They go out and they buy it, right? And so
that doesn't mean it's good, though, right? People go out and buy Madden every year, but they still complain about it.
Let me finish my point. All right. They go out and buy it. So they have the financial receipts to say that, hey, people want the game this way. Hey, wrestling is who is the number one superstar now? Who are the mid-carders that are coming up? Who are the new personalities? Who are the new moves? Who are the new entrances? They're delivering that, and they're delivering it in a way that is, hey, we are giving you photorealistic things, right? Like, just removing a specific game, but drawing from the hat of 2K games you've seen, right? There are definitely times where I was reviewing them still at IGN, and it would be that thing of like, man, They removed the HUD this year. They've done all this different stuff. It looks like I'm watching the real program, right? And so I'm not going to sit here and say that that they've been bad to the brand. I think they've tried to deliver what the brand wants. Personally, from everything I've ever heard from every wrestler or every inside, the WWE doesn't seem to be the easiest to work with. So I'm sure that, to get even more into the weeds of this, right, I'm sure that the people at 2K making this game would love, and this is general, not right now, I'm talking about Visual Concepts, would love multiple years to work on a WWE game, right? And they don't get it. They get the 9 months, and they do the best they can, and they do the same thing Madden does, where it's like, you're working on this one game, but you know in 2 years you're putting this system into the game, and it's going to be great. In the same breath, like, the Ukes people that had been working on the WWE games up until WWE 2K20, right? The whole reason they left was that WWE doesn't want to, they're not letting us iterate. We're not getting to actually push this thing the way we want to push it. So we're going to go leave and we're going to go now work on this AEW game. 2K has done a business job of being good caretakers, of delivering the product people want for the most part, doing this thing, people buy it. So what are they doing? I don't think they've done a great job of what the wrestling fan wants. And that was one of the things that, you know, before any of this happened, when I was definitely saying take it with a grain of salt, and Chris Scullion from VGC was reporting on this and saying that, you know, what the word is on WWE 2K22 is this is a wrestling games, a wrestling fan's wrestling game.
Yeah, so, okay. So let me phrase the question in a different way, sure, that kind of takes the business part of it out of it. As a fan of wrestling games, are you satisfied with what 2K has been delivering the past few years?
Absolutely not.
Okay. That's where I was trying to,
I hear you, but you understand my, you know, I'm more than just, you know, Joe Blow and GameStop. I want to make sure I'm talking about the realities of making it, because I have to do that, I feel like, to educate and talk about what's happening. But like,
yeah, as we get it. You know, Rebecca Valentine did this great story on IGN the other day. You know, video game development's really, really hard, and you know, we always try to, you know, make allowances for the fact, you know, people go, oh, why can't you just do this? Why can't you just do that? Why can't you just make the game brilliant and bring it out on time? Because you can't just do anything in video game development, right? Everything's really hard, and we get that. At the end of the day, though, you're either satisfied with the end product or you're not. And I'm very much looking at this from the outside in. I don't play the wrestling games. It confuses me a little bit, because in other areas, 2K dominates, right? On the basketball side, I think gamers are largely satisfied with what 2K has been delivering on the NBA side, right?
See, that one's always hard, because it seems like the game does really well and it scores really well usually, and then you every year hear about them being mad about something, and then the virtual currency and the whatever the hell it is, and I'm not into that one enough to be able to tell you, right?
Their new PGA game is very good. The wrestling one, it seems weird to me, especially, we all remember the memes that went around last year, right, with all the glitching.
Sure.
The horrendous, yeah, like, from the bowels of hell glitching that we saw. I mean, it was
that's the one where I feel like it's the biggest mar to the record, right? It's the biggest black streak. So it's hard to talk about, oh, are they good stewards? I feel like what gets so difficult about it, right, is that who are they making the wrestling game for, Gary? I think that becomes the question, right? WWE is, you know, PG now, right? Like, they trend younger, and this is great. You know, I'm not trying to get in the way of that. So if it is that every year there's a new batch of 7, 8, 9-year-olds getting into wrestling, 13-year-olds, whatever. There's new people getting into wrestling, and they go and they buy the wrestling game, and they pop in the wrestling game, and they don't know the 30 years of wrestling game history or whatever. Are they playing it and being like, this is exactly what I want? Brock Lesnar looks like Brock Lesnar. I'm smashing the table the way I want. It's so awesome to be able to throw somebody through Hell in a Cell. I don't understand that it's the same animation from Hell in a Cell from 2 years ago or whatever.
I gotta believe that with the wrestling in particular, like, it's that those games have to cater to wrestling fans in particular. Because, right? Unlike, say, FIFA, where like maybe you don't like follow, you know, Premier League or La Liga or Serie A or MLS soccer, maybe, you know, but you might pick up FIFA and play it, right? Because, you know, everyone knows soccer, right? It's just a global language. But like, if you don't, like someone like me, if you don't follow WWE and you don't particularly know the difference between Brock Lesnar and John Cena, you ain't playing that fucking game. You know, like, you've got to be interested in wrestling to play the wrestling game. And I think it's a particular problem for companies like 2K when they have to satisfy people outside of their own company, right? There's a major licensor, right, who's licensing this game out to them. We saw it a couple of years ago with Battlefront 2, right? EA made a pig's ear of the loot box stuff, and now they're getting calls from Bob Iger, because it's a bigger problem than just EA, right? It's embarrassing Disney and Lucasfilm, right? And so, like, oh shit, we got to fix this. Like, you've got to keep those people happy or you're going to fucking lose that license. And, you know, there are many, I can't think of many people in the business world that I would want to piss off more than Vince McMahon, You know, it's like you got to keep these people happy. And I don't know if Vince McMahon is necessarily, you know, looking at these games, but whatever person he's put in charge of that division,
he's looking at the spreadsheet.
He's looking at the money. And again, as long as the money keeps coming in, I don't think he cares if the games are good or bad. But if you do care if the games are good or bad, and you believe in the essential theory that if you make better games, people will buy them. If Vince McMahon put me in charge of the, you know, licensing out the 2K, you know, sorry, the rest of the games to whomever, I would probably look at what 2K has done over the past, you know, the better part of a decade and go, I don't know. I think like it probably wouldn't hurt us to shop around and see if we could do better than this. You can't tell me this is as good as it gets. Maybe EA would do a better job. Maybe another company.
Of course. And this is a fascinating conversation. But then the question I think becomes is, who could you give this game to that would then be able to run on the 9-month schedule? Right. That would be the biggest thing is like, I feel like, again, what you're talking about is 100% correct in terms of like, you know, they put out Battlegrounds, right? And Battlegrounds had some good ideas, but wasn't a good game by any stretch of the imagination. And so it is this thing of, well, how many great games have there been? Well, you know, X, Y, and Z, you go through and like, oh, I like 2K19 for whatever reason. But it's this idea of like, even if they gave it to an EA, even if they went with a Ubisoft, even if they just did internally, right? Like that first game might be effing awesome, right? I don't know why I censored myself. Fucking awesome. But then does the next one in 9 months, is that fucking awesome? Or are you just into the same treadmill cycle?
Yeah, and there's only a handful of companies that can iterate on that kind of cycle, which is, you know, and can afford the license, right? Which is why there's only a handful of major companies like EA and like 2K that are in the business of making sports games, right? Very few companies are at that level. So it's not like, you know, there would be a lot of suitors, right? You got to be able to come correct with the licensing fee, which is going to be considerable. And you've got to demonstrate that you could deliver a AAA game on that kind of punishing, like you said, an annual schedule, right? Because it's 2K1, 2K2, 2K3, on and on it goes. You've got to be able to do that. So that, there's only a handful of companies that have those resources, but they are out there. I mean, let me ask you this. Because there's so few companies you can really like realistically point the finger at. If the news dropped yet tomorrow that EA is taking over WWE, do you think that would be good news?
I would have to wait and see. And it's not even it's not me saying, oh man, EA sucks. It's me going, I don't know. Like, I mean, did EA move the needle with UFC? Like, and they've shown with the NBA game, right? They won't put out a crap NBA game, which is good. But the problem is, I think anytime you spin up a wrestling game, your first one's gonna be bare bones. Now, my hope, of course, is that the AEW game is the exception to the rule. You can go back from the last two Fridays episodes, I've ranted about AEW and the fact that they have Ukes, they have people from AKI, they have people that were a lot of people I think were really ingenious and underutilized that I won't get into names of that worked on the WWE games, right? Like, I think they could have something special brewing there, but they could also have a very bare bones first release. But are they going to sit there and try to hold themselves to a standard of putting out every year? Yeah, I don't think so because AEW is smaller and they have this, you know, a smaller, what is the success to them is not as big as what's the success of WWE.
I hesitate to kind of, you know, try to opine on this too much because I don't know wrestling very well. I haven't watched wrestling since the 90s. I don't play the wrestling games. When these games come out, they make enough of an impact that you hear about it, whether you want to or not. We all saw the glitches last year, right? We all saw the YouTube videos of those ridiculous, how badly broken that game shipped in a deeply unacceptable state. And now you've got another unacceptable situation where the game's going to come out in the same year as the year on the box. When does that ever happen, right? FIFA 22 is coming out in next month. It's 2021. That's how you do it. It has the year ahead of it. So the game, or even at the end of its life cycle, it still feels, that's the whole reason why they do it, right? Even at the end of FIFA 22's life cycle, it's going to be 2022. So it never feels like you're playing last year's game. That's the whole point. But so you're not supposed to miss that window. You're supposed to hit your ship dates and you're supposed to ship basically functional, non-broken games. For the last 2 years, 2K have demonstrated they can't do that with this series. So I don't know how much longer this license is going on, but it doesn't take an expert to look at that, to look at those facts. You're shipping broken games and you're shipping them late to think, fuck, mate, this can't be the best option. There's got to be
a better way than this.
But the bar has been set very, very low.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see everybody as we hurdle towards the March release date of WWE 2K22 and see if it's actually good or if it's actually bad. And then whenever the hell AEW is coming, but it can't come soon enough. I digress. Number two.
Before we go on, I want to put you on the spot one more time. What is the best wrestling game?
I mean, I would say WWE No Mercy on the N64. WWF No Mercy on the N64. If you wanted to say WWF WrestleMania 2000, I wouldn't argue with you either, because obviously they're very similar or whatever. I, of course, had the No Mercy cartridge glitch on N64 where it erased my progress, and it did that on three separate cartridges where I had to keep going back to games or EB at the time and get a new cartridge, and I'd bring it home and then I'd stay up all night and I would unlock all the stuff and then it would reset. And then when it reset that third time, walked in with the N64, all my GAC, put it down, and I said, I want to trade this in for a PlayStation. Never look back.
That's funny, because in England, it's kind of funny, because in England, GAC means cocaine. So I like that version of it better. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I use GAC based on Nick Scarpino when we'd go out on IGN things, and he'd be like, get all the GAC. I'm going to get all the GAC. And he meant all like the wires and Folsoms and things to make his games, or to record video games. So it's possible Nick was making a cocaine reference that I'm now picked up, but I doubt it. I doubt that's what he was.
Oh, no. Nick seems like he's probably done coke, don't you think?
And 64 Wrestling was the best, and that's why I can't wait for see what AEW's got up their sleeve. So let's see. Anyways. Number two on the Roper Report. EA is making Apex Legends ping system and other accessibility patents free to use. This is Kenneth Shepard over at Fanbyte. In an effort to make accessibility features more, well, accessible, EA is opening up five of its game development patents so other developers can use them in their own games. In a post on its official site, the company says it's allowing other developers to use these features royalty-free so as to help create a more inclusive video game industry. Of the five patents, the one that most people will likely be readily aware of is the ping system seen in Apex Legends, which allows players to highlight things of interest to teammates with the push of a button. Also included are automated image processing to help those with colorblindness, and tech that generates audio for those with hearing problems. Good news, Gary. You know what I mean? Good news for a change.
I think, yes. Yes, absolutely.
I was going to say, what do you think? What do you have to add on this? It's,
sometimes these things are just self-evident. What are you going to say? No, that's not good news. It's good news.
Oh, yeah, exactly, right? I think it is great news, and it's nice to see EA do that. You know, like, how much money are they going to make on that patent that they really want to keep that locked in, right?
Right.
Correct me if you're, I don't know. This seems like something you would know. It definitely seems like something Kevin would know. Which company invented seatbelts or whatever, and invented the crossover seatbelt, and then just made never patented it? They're like, everybody take this. This is going to save lives. That's a good way to do it.
Yes.
Gary, we need to invent something and then patent it, but then make money off of it. Like, nothing life-saving. We're not going to make a vaccine or something.
What's the point if you're not making money? Exactly, you're not getting paid to get played.
I looked it up, Greg. It was Volvo.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good job.
I don't have that offhand knowledge that Kevin would absolutely had, so I did some research.
I was thinking about Volvo the other day because I happened to rewatch that commercial where Jean-Claude Van Damme did the splits between those two trucks. Remember that? Brilliant.
I remember that. But did he really do it that time? Because he's old now, right?
He really did it. There's a whole behind the scenes video about how they shot it. Like, it was all legit. It's all in camera, no visual effects.
Let's get to number three here on the Roper Report. It's about the Destiny stuff that is happening. Like I said, there is a Destiny thing going on right now for the old witch or something like that. I'm kidding around with you. It's the Witch Queen expansion. However, I am looking off of, everybody's got their live streams going right now. I am on Paul Tassi from Forbes' Twitter, who's doing a live update of it, and he hasn't given out the actual, like, probably because they haven't said anything about like the actual like dates and stuff. So I'm going to read from GameSpot Eddie, where it looks like Destiny stuff leaked before this event, but maybe it's live now and I can confirm it at some point. But I'm going to read over here. A PlayStation Store listing for Destiny 2's new Witch Queen expansion has seemingly spoiled Bungie's big surprise announcement today ahead of the big Witch Queen showcase event. A listing for the expansion was published on the Australian PlayStation Store, and it reveals the release date, new gameplay information, and pre-order bonuses, among other things. True Trophies viewed the listing and has all the details. The release date is going to be February 22nd, 2022, or 2/22/22, according to the leak. The date shown in the listing is actually February 23rd, which some remarked was odd because that's a Wednesday when Destiny 2 normally updates on Tuesdays, but this could be due to the fact that it's an Australian listing. The listing also reveals Witch Queen's setting, Savanthun's Throne World. The page also mentions how the expansion will take players into Savanthun's Throne Room World to uncover the mystery of how she and her Lucent Hive stole the light. A new weapon type, the Glaive, is also coming to Destiny 2 in Witch Queen, apparently. This weapon is capable of delivering, quote, powerful melee combos, projectile attacks, and deployable energy shield, end quote. A new weapon crafting system is coming too, according to the leak. As for the pre-order bonuses, these are apparently include the Throne World Exotic Ghost Shell, Enigma Exotic Emote, and a new emblem. The leak is based on the Witch Queen's Deluxe Edition, so keep that in mind.
Tell me the name of the planet again, Greg.
That's easy. I'm sorry. Well, I don't know if it's, you know, is it a whole, it's a, th- oh, it is a world name. It's a Savathun's throne world, everyone. Savathun's. You know what I mean? Whenever I'm up there, pew, 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 shooting around the moon, going to Mars, picking up some M-grams, I'm jonesing to go to Savathun's throne room, you know?
One more time for me, Greg.
Savathun's throne room. You know what I mean?
I'm making you say it over and over again just to make chat really mad.
Oh, the chat's super pissed. Yeah. They're saying Savathun. But to that,
Greg, how can you not know that? You call yourself a fucking gay, you should be embarrassed.
We brought in everybody. Please welcome. He's about to, he's probably right now backstage at the Xbox Gamescom conference getting ready. The XCast, Paris Lilly. Hello, Paris.
Hey, you know, I literally told Xbox, I told Phil, we got to hold on just a second. I got to jump into Kind of Funny Daily because I hear you talking about Destiny, and I know both of you are Destiny noobs. So I just want to say,
I have the platinum in Destiny too.
I'm not a noob. I played it quite a bit. I just didn't go back.
That's my point. I'm still an OG. I still play. But my point is, I just watched the whole Witch Queen thing, and I just want to say, it's year 7. And this is probably the best that Destiny has ever been. All the content that's coming, all the changes that they're going to do for the Witch Queen, it's like I'm just as excited now as I was back in 2014. So credit to Bungie and just everything that they've done to stay. Look, it's a roller coaster. Not everything's going to be perfect, but they've stayed on the path and they've continued to invest in this game. And I think we're about to see this culmination in February 2022 with the Witch Queen, where they have a plan. They have a roadmap. They have content that hardcore people like me care about. The fact that we're going to have a dungeon or a raid every 3 months to be able to do, the way that they've evolved the story with the seasons, where we're seeing, you know, there's the weapon crafting now, you know, you got transmog with armor, just all these things are doing, they're really starting to push Destiny towards being an MMORPG, which for people like me, this is all I've ever wanted.
I gotta say, I'm not a Destiny expert anymore. Again, I played it quite a bit when it first came out, but I haven't played it in years. So I don't know what they've done recently or how they're doing it. I just know that from what I'm seeing from the outside looking in, Bungie, like the fact that like they're 7 years in and the game is still relevant and still going strong, and as Paris is saying, arguably better than it's ever been, it does seem like Bungie, whatever it is they're doing, they are laying down a roadmap, like this is how you do it, guys. For every like Division, Anthem, you know, game as a service wannabe that's out there, Bungie seemed like they've as close as you're going to get in this very difficult genre to cracking how you keep a game relevant over multiple years.
Yeah, yep. I think that's the, you know, yeah, I'm having a laugh, obviously, because it's one of those where I don't even think you can come in and act. Gary and I would we want to act like we understand where Destiny's at right now and what people want from it. So I was going to deliver the news for sure. But if you want to dial it back, Paris, to your point of like, it's fucking incredible what they've done. And you know what I mean? We had a great conversation where on We Have Cool Friends, right? Geez, it was still the studio, so it must have been 2019, where Luke Smith came on and talked about everything. And the fact that it's been able to go like this, the fact it's still going, that it had so many people watching it today. Well, one of Paul Tassi's tweets was from 31 minutes ago, Paul Tassi from Forbes, of course, 20 million new Guardians since the Activision split. Not life to date, since they broke up with Activision. That's crazy.
I got to say, Greg, because I know you're a fan, this has got to make you excited for where Avengers is going to be in 7 years, right?
100%. And it's one of those things is it shows that, you know, like, you know, in the same way you and I are waking up today, Gary, and going, man, Destiny, maybe we should give that another look. Eventually, Paris is going to do that with Avengers. He's going to look at it and go, you know what? That's what I should be playing right now.
And Greg's playing the long game on Avengers. He's like, just you wait, give it 5 more years and Avengers is going to prove you all wrong.
We'll three more heroes by then. No, Spider-Man will still be waiting for. We'll three different heroes.
Spider-Man PlayStation exclusive.
What in Paris? Where are you going to say?
Tom Holland's going to be in a fucking walking around with it on a fucking walker with little tennis balls on the bottom.
Paris, talk, Gary. We don't know what we're saying.
No, I was just simply going to say if Square makes that commitment, the same as Bungie has done to Avengers, absolutely it can be there. You're already starting to see that with the Wakanda content. They just have to commit to it and give people a reason to want to jump in and play and engage with that content. And people like myself, I'll give it a shot. Why not?
Narrator. They won't. Back to Destiny 2, though. So you're happy with this? This is what you wanted from this today, Paris?
Yeah, I'm very happy with this. This is exactly what I wanted because, like I said, they're giving us content that longtime Destiny fans care about. They're giving an entry point for new people to be able to jump in. And yeah, man, I mean, like I said, it's year 7 going into year 8. It's crazy that I still play this game the way I do. So yeah, I'm really excited for February.
So Parrish, do me a favor, just break like real quick. Just break it down for someone like me and I'm presuming Greg, who like hasn't played Destiny a long time, doesn't know kind of what the current state of the game is. Like what's the single biggest headline out of today in terms of what they've announced?
We're getting Sabathund, who is the Witch Queen. She's the brother of Oryx, who was the Taken King that we took out in 2015. During King's Fall, that raid and that whole thing, right? So this has been the slow build up to this story wise where Sabathun has now reemerged and she's now taken our light and using it against us in this war, and now we have the darkness, we can go. So there's going to be all this crazy shit that's going to be happening over the next
I know Greg and I have been very excited about the long awaited return of Sabathun.
Been stoked.
Yeah,
positively. Now, a real question, Parrish, like obviously Destiny's gunplay and gameplay overall is great. Does the story do it for you too? Like, are you really excited for that? Have you been waiting for this?
It's gotten there. That was one of their biggest weak points over the years was storytelling. And I would say in the last couple years, they've gotten really good at it. These past few seasons has been very tight with you can tell they're leading up to something. So you're seeing the bill. And now Marisov is coming here in this season and Season of the Lost, which is kind of the prologue to the Witch Queen. So yeah, it's actually pretty exciting. I think they've done a great job the past few years, really crafting the story and getting people to actually care about it.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Parrish. Please go get ready for the Xbox conference. We'll see you soon.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Anytime. Parrish, you still here?
Yep.
I also said you were very excited about this, but I saw you were very upset about one thing in the chat. Gaming OB2 said Parrish is the Kool-Aid man of Kind of Funny. And you responded in chat and said, I am not the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah, I am not the Kool-Aid man. I'm allowed to be excited about things, but I can be critical about them too. I learned
the
best Gary Whitta. He taught me everything I know.
No. I don't think he means Kool-Aid man and like that you're like a sellout, you're only I think he means you just burst through the wall in the game's
day. Yeah.
Oh wow.
I think he meant it as a compliment, which I agree. Yeah, with. I love the fact Parrish Lilly here.
That could totally be read either way. I get it.
That's hilarious.
Positive. He's a Kind of Funny best friend. Don't worry about that. All right, Parrish, go get ready. We love you.
Let me go do Xbox stuff. See you guys later.
Bye. While Parrish leaves, let us figure out how, I don't know, whatever. We're running out of time and we got ads. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't get the ads if you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, but you're not there. So let's hear a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Away. Whether it's just a trip to the grocery store, a weekend away, or an extended stay with your friends or family, we're all stuck navigating the current weirdness of travel. But no matter what you're up to, Away's suitcases, bags, and accessories all come in a variety of colors, sizes, and materials to always have your back. I've been a huge fan of Away forever. It's all I travel with. It's my favorite luggage. Once you get it, it transforms your life, transforms your travels experience. So high quality, so beautiful, so aesthetically pleasing. Just a big fan overall. Every suitcase comes with a fancy schmancy interior organization system with a compression pad to help you fit more in, which I've had to do many, many times. Away suitcases also come with the smoothest rolling reels I've ever seen on a suitcase. Honestly, it's fun to just roll it around because it is so smooth. A TSA approved combination lock, a laundry bag. It's literally everything you'll need in a suitcase and more. Start your 100-day trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases, at awaytravel.com/KFGD. That's awaytravel.com/KFGD. Next up, shout out to Amazon Music. Amazon Music has more than 10 million free podcast episodes to listen to, including this show and all of the Kind of Funny shows. Go check them out. But it's not just for listening to podcasts. Amazon Music has thousands of music stations and top playlists to stream for free. No matter what you're listening to, you can go hands-free with Alexa. You can get the app and enjoy free listening anywhere on any device. There's no credit card or subscription required. Amazon Music's great. I've been using it for a while. Love listening to podcasts. If you've never tried Amazon Music, what are you waiting for? You're going to love it as much as we do. Start listening for free today. Head over to amazon.com/KFGD. That's amazon.com/KFGD to stream thousands of music stations and over 10 million podcast episodes for free. amazon.com/KFGD. GD. And finally, shout out to DoorDash. Did you forget that one thing at the store? Now you can get snacks, drinks, household essentials in 30 minutes with DoorDash. Dinner? Check. Deodorant? Check. Morning pick-me-up from Dunkin'? Check. Get everything you need whenever you need it with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you with the restaurants you love right now and right to your door. I love DoorDash. I've been using it forever, especially during this whole situation we're in, and it's been fantastic. Not needing to worry, not needing to go out places, just boom. Restaurant food being brought right to me. Me and Gia having a great time eating it. For a limited time, you guys can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on the first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES2021. For Canadian listeners, use code GAMESCA. That's 25% off up to $10 value and zero delivery fees in your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021 in the US and GAMESCA in Canada. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021 or Games CA for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply.
Number four on the Roper Report, wake up Joey Noel. Stardew Valley is now an eSport. We go to GameSpot where James Carr writes, Eric Baroni, the creator of Stardew Valley, has announced the official Stardew Valley Cup, creating an eSports competition for the farming simulator. On Twitter, Baroni announced that the competition would consist of four teams of four, each featuring different streamers and speedrunners. Teams will compete to see who can earn the most points by completing different challenges in-game. The winner will take home $40,000 worth of prize money. Baroni is holding the competition in collaboration with Zach Unsurpassable Z Hartman, a Stardew Valley content creator. In an announcement video, Hartman described the 100 challenges that teams will be aiming to complete in the three-hour time span, all starting on a beach farm. The challenges range from completing the different rooms in the community center to reaching the lowest level of the mines. Each challenge is worth a different amount of points based on how difficult it is to complete. Hartman said the teams will have 2 weeks to make a game plan ahead of the competition. However, Hartman will introduce hidden challenges during the cup to entice competitors to abandon their plans. The event will take place on Hartman's Twitch channel on September 4th at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where he and Baroni will be commentating on the event, but all the individual competitors will be streaming their own viewpoints. The competition will last 3 hours of real time, and there is no limit on how many in-game days the players can go through. The $40,000 prize provided by Baroni will be split between the four teams, with the winning team each getting $28,000 to split between the four members. Gary, are you excited for Joey Noel to move on from Kind of Funny finally? Like, I feel like this is really her calling.
I just had the opportunity to notice there, by the way, that when you're reading a story, Porty and I have much the same facial expression.
Just drifting.
Yeah, just like staring into
what are we gonna
1,000
eat?
Yards into the distance.
For lunch?
Yeah, thinking about where my next snack is coming from. Is there something on the floor I can eat? It's funny, as you're talking about, I'm kind of formulating like what's my hot take clip-worthy response going to be. And I was thinking, I could do like a rant about how esports are silly, and the fact that Stardew Valley is now in esports just kind of highlights how silly the whole esports concept is. But you know what? That's fuck all that. Like, I have a very old man. I have a very grumpy old man attitude towards esports, which is well documented. But at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you, you know how I'm always telling like people and thing companies to fuck off. I'm going to tell myself to fuck off. Fuck off, Gary. Stop being a grumpy old man. Stop being a hater. Don't. Who are you to tell people how they should have fun and what they enjoy? If people enjoy playing Stardew Valley, and if they enjoy play it competitively, fucking go with God. Go have fun. Fucking knock that shit out of the park. Joey, you know you can do it. You know there are greener pastures than Kind of Funny out there where you'll be better appreciated, earn more money, and generally achieve all the fame and adulation you richly deserve. So fucking go for it, I say. Just don't forget where you came from. You know, when you're up there on that Stardew Valley tournament stage, lifting the giant bronze golden cow or whatever it is they give you when you win a Stardew Valley esports tournament, just, you know, just remember, you know, give a little shout out for Greggy and the boys who you know, were such an important part of your origin story.
But also don't leave us, because then we'll fall apart.
It's true. It's also true, Baron. Yeah. All right, Gary, here I have one more news story, and I think this one might be more to your liking. Number five on the Roper Report. Gary, wake up your wife. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is getting a 60 frames per second patch. This is from Assassin's Creed Twitter. Missing Ancient Greece, a new title update for Assassin's Creed Odyssey will be deployed on August 24th, that's today, adding 60 frames per second support when running the game on Xbox Series X/S and PlayStation 5 through backwards compatibility. #Assassin's
Even on the Creed. S? That's impressive.
Let's fucking go. As you know, Barrett Courtney, of course, did Assassin's Creed in review and Assassin's Creed Odyssey, universally the best Assassin's Creed in the world. We've all agreed.
Definitely that's not reflected in the Assassin's Creed in review
video. Well, it's what me and Gary's wife think, so it's true to us.
It's definitely on the lower half of that.
We were just talking about this last night when we were playing Aliens. Kevin was, I think it was either you or Kevin, we were talking about Assassin's Creed. No, Kevin asked me, like, what, because Leah was on the, she was kind of on speakerphone on Discord as we were playing. And, you know, the official word came down that she likes Assassin's Creed Valhalla very much, but Odyssey is still her favorite. So that 60 frame update would actually be a nice update for her. We need to go back. I need to go back and see if there's any, if there's been any new story content or DLC, because she maxed that game out.
Yeah,
I mean, she drained every ounce of content out of that game. I don't know, like 350, 400 hours in that game, I think she's got before she moved on to Valhalla.
Beginning of the year, you know, I was jonesing for Assassin's Creed, and I went back and I played through some of the stuff I had missed, but there's still so much more. I think it's still on my external PlayStation 4 hard drive for the PS5, but if it's not, it's getting downloaded again, so that when I'm ready, I can go back in there and just
mow. You know how much I love I always talk about I prioritize frame rate over resolution. Anytime a game gets a 60 frame update, I like to go back and take a look, because to me it really is night and day different. That buttery smoothness you get with 60 frames, beautiful.
Okay, Gary. Well, first off, Andy, you showed up. You don't have anything to say about Assassin's Creed, right? You're just coming in here for the Xbox showcase.
Oh, don't get me started on Assassin's Creed, everyone.
That's my man. I'm excited one day when we have more time to hear from Andy about his Assassin's Creed Odyssey love, Gary. But that day's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
Since Andy Cortez is here, the official list of upcoming software on each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts, each and every weekday.
Holy shit.
God, I feel so special right now. That was amazing here.
Out today, this week, Red Dead Online players will be getting their hands dirty with Blood Money contracts that will reward double XP, while an offer for 30% off an ability card upgrade awaits those who complete any contract in full. Then, Hoa is out on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. King's Bounty 2 is on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series X and S, and Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Aliens Fire Team Elite, Gary Whitta's Game of the Year, is out on PlayStation 5, PS4, Xbox Series X/S, Xbox One, and PC. Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts 2 is on PS5. Mickey Storm and the Cursed Masked is on Switch. And then Metal Dogs is on PC. New dates for you. Tactical Combat Department is coming to Steam October 14th, and Minecraft Dungeons makes its way to Steam on September 22nd. We, of course, ask people to support the show if they like the show over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can usually get it with the post-show. Obviously, we're running right into an Xbox conference right after this. But you can also squad up. This is where you give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Alex Price needs help in Aliens Fireteam Elite. Hello,
Kinda Funny just came
best
out.
Friend. Well, he's ready. He's ready to roll. Hello, Kind of Funny Best Friends. I'm looking for some fellow Colonial Marines in Aliens Fireteam Elite to help me hunt some bugs. Why should you help, Alex? Alex writes, I'm good at those video games. He says video games one word, though, which is a no-no for Greg, but it doesn't matter. If you want to play with Alex on PlayStation 4, hit up Pure Chaos. It is Pure Chaos. He's all intercapping it, but it doesn't matter. Pure Chaos 72. Pure Chaos.
Just to editorialize one last time real quick on Aliens Fireteam Elite, which I am enjoying a lot. That particular squad up is it feels very relevant to me, because after you and Kevin and Snowbike all logged off last night and I wanted to play some more, I thought maybe I can find some pickups to play with. Game doesn't support it. You can only play with people on your friends list. You can't.
Really?
There's no
matchmaking.
If I'm missing it, I mean, I went all through the menus. There's no matchmaking.
Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez, you played with Blessing and Alana Pierce last night. That's up on your YouTube channel now if people want to check it out. First off, do you like it? Do you like Aliens Fireteam Elite?
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of fun when you, me, and Nick played it for that pre-release sort of party mode or whatever. And then I enjoyed it equally last night.
Are you playing on PC, Andy, on Steam?
I'm playing on PC, correct?
Yeah. I've been playing on Xbox, but I just picked up the Steam version today. If you want to squad out, let me know. I'm really enjoying it.
Gary, I'm so down, and it runs so buttery smooth when it's not crashing.
Beautiful.
It crashes a lot. Let me tell
you.
Yeah.
So we were having some network problems last night.
It's a $40 game.
The game. I'm bummed. It doesn't crash on crash on Xbox.
Whenever I would alt tabbing out and big no-no.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Okay. We can keep talking about this while Barrett
sets up for the streamer's lament.
We can keep doing this while Barrett sets up for the thing. So let me wind down this show, all right? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, this has been... Tim, turn off your fucking camera. You son of a bitch. God damn. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, of course, we ask for your support on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. You can write into... Andy, turn off your fucking camera.
My bad.
Oh, my God, you people. You know what I mean? You can go over to patreon.com or you can write in and you can do the show and you can do the thing ad free. And you can watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it later at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it live as we record it at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Tomorrow it's going to be Janet and Andy because we'll be getting ready for opening night live. It's another big day of reaction live content. Thursday, me and Tim. Friday, me and Blessing. Like I said, no post show today because we're going right into the Xbox Gamescom showcase. You can catch our live reactions later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames along with the post show XCast recap of everything that happened. If you want to watch live with us and you're on us with Twitch right now, just stay here on Twitch. Bear's going to build live on Twitch. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.